Okay, well, thank you all for sticking with us to the end, and, well, most of you. And today I'd also like to start by thanking my co-authors on this project, Lisa Crapo and Sarah Samuels from my organization, Samuels and Associates, and also Joanne C.V. Hilquist and Michelle Wexler from First Five in Santa Clara County. This morning, this was actually really nicely set up because I'm going to be talking about a project that my firm was involved in. It was creating a strategic plan in Santa Clara County for childhood obesity prevention. And just so you know, in case you don't, Santa Clara County is in the South Bay area, so not that far from Contra Costa. So it's interesting to compare what's happening with just within the Bay Area. I have no financial disclosures. And I don't think I need to go on and on about this for this crowd. At this point, I think it's been really well established that there is rising obesity rates in children ages 0 to 5. This chart is PEDNIS data for children ages 2 to 4. It shows that in California in 2002, the rate of overweight in that age group was over 17%, and at that point in all of the United States, it was about 14%, so California does have higher overweight rates for young children than the national average. Also, some other data from California, from the California Health Interview Survey, 14% of all children in California from birth to age 5 in 2001 were overweight. And as was discussed, overweight children tend to continue on into adulthood being overweight. So the importance of preventing obesity in childhood, especially in early childhood before children hit school age, is just becoming really obvious and very critical. So the idea is to begin in the youngest children with interventions to even prevent overweight from developing. So within Santa Clara County, they wanted to try a strategy that involved policy change and environmental change for young children, as opposed to specifically looking at individual interventions. First Five Santa Clara County already offers a lot of programming within the county to young children and their families, so they wanted to develop a plan that they could integrate into existing programming, and then also beyond that use their collaborative to initiate these additional interventions. Just in case anyone doesn't know, First Five California as an organization was created in 1998. It was created through funding generated from tobacco tax. The goal of First Five is to fund and sponsor essential services for young children and their families. And then, in addition to the First Five California organization, each of the counties in California has their own county-specific organization, and these are able to develop programming specific to local needs. So First Five Santa Clara County established an early childhood obesity prevention collaborative last year. The goal of the collaborative was to address the gaps in early childhood obesity prevention for children under age five and under. Members of the collaborative are actually very similar to the collaborative in Contra Costa County. It was physicians, nurses, many different healthcare professionals, educators, early child care providers, so really quite a broad range of representatives throughout the county and people interested in this age group. Our role, the role of my firm, was to help develop the strategic plan that they wanted to create. We did a logic modeling process, and then we collected feedback on the logic model from various stakeholders throughout the county. And then we created a summary document with all of this information that First Five will use going forward. So the six primary goal areas that we were working in were identified by First Five before the collaborative was established. So the collaborative was asked to look at these six goal areas and then decide on strategies and interventions and policy change efforts that would work within these six goal areas. They were improving access to affordable food, especially in low-income communities, increasing breastfeeding rates, improving feeding and eating practices for young children, increasing opportunities for physical activity, reducing television watching and marketing of unhealthy foods to children, and within the treatment community, facilitating effective treatment strategies for children who are already overweight. So the strategic plan development involved the contribution of over 200 individuals and organizations within Santa Clara County. We started with the actual collaborative MET and developed these strategies and logic model. And then we took that to a group of policymakers in the county who were interested, headed up by Ken Yeager. We also then brought it to parents within the county, and we did groups in a group in Spanish, a group in English, and also a group in Vietnamese. We had child care providers look at the logic model, and then also first five grantees and lead agencies. So once we were done with and got all of that input, we ended up with 23 specific strategies that had been prioritized and 10 that were identified as high priority to be initiated as soon as possible within the county. And these strategies were programmatic and policy oriented, but not each of the six goal areas did not have a specific policy. It kind of varied from goal to goal. So for the first goal of improving access to affordable food in low-income communities, the highest priority strategy was that partners would work with a local food bank to expand the locations of mobile markets. And those are kind of self-explanatory. It's a large vehicle that has produce and can move from place to place. So they wanted to expand upon that to get produce into more low-income areas. Other strategies that were identified that they wanted to integrate into the existing system of care in First Five was to tap into that mobile programming to provide free food and access to fruits and vegetables. They wanted to provide training to various stakeholders within the county to really get the word out about the food stamp program and get those who are eligible registered for that program. They also wanted to produce and distribute materials with listings for local farmers markets, the actual schedule for the mobile market because it goes to certain areas at certain times. And they also wanted to distribute resources for families in general on how to access fruits and vegetables. Within goal area number two, the highest priority strategy was identified as providing intensive breastfeeding support to new mothers that's accessible, affordable, and culturally relevant. That was really stressed in all of the groups that we visited, especially the culturally relevant because Santa Clara County is such a diverse county. There was also a policy strategy that was identified, and that was to advocate for and actually develop specific legislative language on requiring Medi-Cal to cover individualized lactation support. It was thought that the individual nature, the needs of an individual, were really the highest need for especially low-income mothers. And the final two strategies to integrate into First Five existing resources were to produce and distribute materials promoting breastfeeding support hotlines within the county, and also to create awareness among grantees of available breastfeeding home visitation services that support breastfeeding mothers. For goal area number three, improving feeding and eating practices, the highest priority was decided to be to support the activities of the Early Childhood Feeding Practices Collaborative. The name of the collaborative is pretty self-explanatory. It was just another collaborative within the county to support that effort. The policy strategies that were identified were to require early child care and preschool licensing and certification to be contingent upon serving healthy foods and creating a healthy feeding environment. And I don't know if any of you were in the session before in the next room over, but that was actually discussed as well from several of the presenters in several other states. So it looks like this is a pretty widespread effort at this point. They also wanted to convene local funders and foundations in order to set uniform nutrition guidelines, meaning that those grantees for those foundations who receive money to work with young children and their families would need to meet certain guidelines in terms of the foods that they serve or the activities that they do. Then other strategies included media efforts to promote feeding practices, providing grantees with appropriate outreach materials, promoting local campaigns to discourage unhealthy beverages. There's a local campaign called Soda Free Summer. And then also integrate interactive curriculum activities into local resource centers for families to access. Goal area number four was about physical activity, increasing physical activity opportunities. The highest priority was to encourage community centers, the Parks and Rec Department, and other interested organizations to develop affordable programming for young children to be physically active. There seemed to be a dearth of programs for very young children to be active within the community, so this was what they wanted to focus on. In addition, they wanted messages about the importance of physical activity into media and outreach campaigns. They want physical activity and unstructured play guidelines and policies for early childcare and preschool settings, and they wanted to work with other local agencies to promote unstructured play for children. In goal area number five, in reducing TV and screen time and the marketing of unhealthy foods, the highest priority was to implement a community-based outreach campaign to providers and parents to help manage TV watching and screen time. There was a lot of discussion about how to mitigate TV watching and screen time, even in the youngest children, and it's really difficult. So there was a lot of strategizing about how it is that parents and providers could be informed and guided in ways to reduce TV time and screen time. A policy strategy was to adopt local regulations and ordinances on advertising or marketing of unhealthy foods to young children in the environment, not just in the environments in which young children are, but in all environments within the community. Additionally, they wanted to provide training regarding the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines and recommendations for reducing screen time. Currently, the AAP recommends no TV for children under two years, and I think it's 2 hours of combined screen time, of media time, for children older than that. So to get that word out. Also have a media and outreach campaign incorporating these messages, and to collaborate with existing organizations within the county to disseminate outreach materials. Finally, the last goal of facilitating effective treatment strategies. The highest priority was to train healthcare providers on childhood obesity prevention messages during residency training and during continuing medical education. It was really thought to be important to get the message to providers during their training so that throughout their career they would be able to incorporate this into treatment. Additionally, they wanted to work collaboratively with grantees, community partners, and community information hotline staff to increase the number of physical activity and nutrition programs listed on the hotline. This is a local hotline that has just a lot of information about different resources available in the community. It's actually a warm line because it's only available sometimes. But in any case, they really wanted to make sure that these activity and nutrition programs were listed and available to county residents. So the next steps for the collaborative and the policy work group, they continue to meet, they continue to be active. They want to take these highest priority strategies and get them started. So the collaborative continues to meet on a regular basis and continues to work on implementation of these. The policy work group met recently to decide on the specific policy strategies for the coming year. And another priority for First Five in Santa Clara is to develop data collection tools to evaluate the impact of these strategies as they're implemented. So this is a picture of the summary document that we helped to produce. The link is there. It's a little bit busy, but if you go to first5kids.org, and I think if you look at strategic obesity prevention strategic plan, you would be able to find it. But it contains a summary of the development process, the logic model that was created through all of the input, and in addition, a matrix of existing resources within the county, and then the funding that would be needed for future programming along these lines. So thank you very much.
Don't go away. So I think this can be an opportunity for those of you that either have a question for Krista or for some of the other speakers that you didn't have a chance to ask a question. We now can take those. Anybody have any? Yes.
We are in an interesting spot. Colorado State University has kind of pushed us out of the university from a sense that the demand was so great we were running a business out of the university. So we have a colleague of mine has started Food Friends, Inc., and we're working with Lakeshore Learning, who will be the distributor of both the Food Friends and the Mighty Moves program, but we are just now kind of finishing up some of those details. So I'd encourage anyone who's interested to go to foodfriends.org, and in time, the programs, both programs, will be available with distribution through Lakeshore Learning.
Any other questions?
We use the Peabody developmental motor scales as our objective measure of motor skills, and so we're looking at what were those skills we were testing and then look to make sure we had representation among stability skills, locomotor, and manipulative, and really it was a crapshoot of what they could identify within making sure that we stuck with it. And then you had some of the characters don't have feet, like the carrot or the daikon radish, so for walking we needed a character that had feet, and so there's probably not a true research methodology that went into that, but it was trial and error. We have a pretty extensive training component to that, and really for Food Friends, our emphasis is try any new food, not just fruits and vegetables, not just whole grains, so that these are just representations of foods, but rather talking more broadly about it. So, of course, when we showed milk, the kids got it right away. They help with strong muscles, and they make me exercise, and so they're hearing those messages, but we don't promote any of those.
There are no other questions. Oh, yeah, there's the question.
That's a great question. Actually, We have in our system found initially that the providers were usually not recognizing overweight, and when we started doing the BMI for age, we found we could greatly increase their rate of recognition. So we started working with them on how to counsel patients, and the focus has always been on being healthy, not having a normal weight. The providers picked that up. That resonated with them very well. Motivational interviewing is the method that we used, which I think is similar to the WIC goal setting, where we ask patients about if they have any concerns. We find out their family history. We talk to them about the options that they would like to pursue in terms of increasing enhancing their healthy lifestyle habits. The question of iatrogenic has come up a lot recently. Actually, that's been kind of unclear for a while, but recently there was a very good study that showed evidence base behind provider counseling in offices, and it showed there was no impact on rates of anorexia or depression if the provider discussed it. Now, they weren't really able to discuss how sensitively they discussed it, but I think most people now are no longer expecting providers to write a prescription. It's all a negotiated model of helping families be healthier. So I think it's taking a long time. Providers have not been used to dealing with chronic diseases in childhood. So, but now that we have kids being diagnosed with diabetes and hypertension and all kinds of things, we're picking up on how to do it.
Absolutely. Any other? Yes.
Doing the surveys and the weights, the post weights, we have baseline data, but right now we're getting those data. So really the only outcome data we have at this point are the ISIS data, which were in all the food packages, which, and those data have a lot of things going on in them. So we're really excited that we had such a significant change. We haven't looked at it yet, but we also have how many cans of formula are being distributed by the site as well. The state WIC office has been very generous in giving us a lot of access to aggregate data that we can use. But we also are, as I said, just beginning our survey. We got into feeding practices and attitudes and beliefs and all of that at baseline, and we're repeating all that now. So that information will be available next spring.
Have any others? Any other questions? Well, if not, I thank you all for coming this morning, and glad that there's a group that sees this as a very important time to prevent childhood obesity. Thanks.
Do you have a copy of that DVD?
Oh, great.
What I like about what you're doing is the distribution only based. I'll get it if you send it to our three offices, and then I will know who's that. we have a whole new group in the Southern Pacific Command.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
But what I like is Oh, yeah. I love the distribution-only piece because in terms of trying to disseminate, you know, having the dissemination strategy that you can distribute something only and get an impact.
Do you know GHI?
GHI.
It's a huge managed care company.
No.
They've asked us for 15,000.
Ah, okay. Yeah, no, we don't. Okay.
We're really hoping to go beyond WIC.
Right.
Maybe
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have to tell you one thing I love. I have to explain to you. We did it in three characters. We did, you know, of course, we didn't know what to do. We did it for a lot of conversations. And we ended up with characters after iteration in the community. Which a lot of people have. But we are getting so much pushback from we're trying to do animation from the engineering Oh, people need their... So, Jane, I know you gave us one of your books. Okay. I just don't want people to lose this one. Okay. Thank you so much for the prop. This is great. Thank you. I'm not sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was terrific. I'm going to try and do something, actually. I chair the risk agenda section in the American Society of Nutrition in Nutrition Education, and I'm going to try and organize something for our 2010 meeting, or the 2009 is already planned, obviously, I was trying to see what kind of a response we would get, because it becomes a much smaller group when I start getting into nutritional sciences. But anyway, I did. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great. Thanks so much.
Yeah. from last year, and especially for those like nutritionists. Most of it's around
Asia,
but there's and it's a big group that's coming, and also the NIH is starting to develop programs. They have a program project now, and they're starting to do money on the dissemination of it. Right. So that's but
oh, really?
The yeah, that's cool. I went last year, it was wonderful, and I think it's interesting.
Thank you. Marnie Purcell. I'm the first presenter.
First presenter.
Yeah.
And so the person who's the moderator, how does it come?
I know what I see. It looks like herself.
Yes.
Okay.
No, she's around herself.
I have to upload my presentation still.
I just haven't, I mean, I know I uploaded it, but I haven't checked to make sure it's still working. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll